Praise be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening is written in Paul's letter to the Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 28th verse. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. Because those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, will I go to heaven? What must I do to get there? These are questions many people are asking. In fact, to say most of them have the wrong answers. Work righteousness seems to be the rule. But you can't get there by your works. That's not the way to heaven. For Paul in our text for this evening gives us the true and only answer. He tells us, God, my gracious God, does it all. First of all, in eternity he chose me to be his very own. Because those God foreknew, even before the world came into being, God knew the names of all the people who were written in the book of life. Now some people get really, really upset about this passage. If God foreknew who was going to be there, why didn't he have everybody there? Why didn't he choose everybody and not just somebody? Why did he choose us and not the rest of the people? We don't know. Rather, as I look at these words, I think, wow, what a comfort. God has chosen me even before the world was created to be his child, to be an heir of life. Wow. Therefore, I don't fear the devil. I don't fear his wicked angels. I don't worry about the possibility that I'm not going to be there, because I know I will be because God chose me. That's what predestination tells to us. And because he has chosen us to be his children, he also gives us the ability to serve him. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, a lot of people think that when Jesus came, he came as an example of Christian living. He came as a person who showed to the world what God expects of the world, and therefore we should copy him. He became a good example. He did come to do that, but that wasn't his main calling. But it is good for us to see someone we can copy. How many of you people, at one time or another in your life, had a special person, an idol, if you want to call it that, a person you really looked up to, and you wanted to be just like him? I'm going to date myself, but my idol was Roy Rogers. I love to see him on his horse. I love to see him being the hero. And he never did anything wrong, right? At least that's the way he was portrayed. But we have a better idol, a better example. And that is Jesus. And he says, I'll give you the ability to be like him. Not perfect, but to do the things that he did, to honor his Father. through the life of Jesus, the way he looked at the poor and the needy, the way he reproved the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the way he instructed his disciples. And he said, you can be just like him. I'll give you that ability. And so we follow Christ, so that he would be the first part of our many brothers. He is the epitome of mankind. The epitome that you and I should follow as those who are written, whose names are written in the book of life, chosen in eternity to be God's very own. In time also, he has done all things for our salvation. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. First of all, he called us. When did he call you? Officially? Baptism. When you were made a child of God through that sacrament of holy baptism. When the Holy Spirit entered into you, bringing you to faith and keeping you in that faith. That's when God called you. But he did more than that. He also justified us. Justified. Not guilty. We look at ourselves. We look at our sinfulness. We look at all of our mistakes. We look at all the times we disobeyed God, that we're sinful, and we know that that makes us guilty. And the deserved sentence should be eternal death. And we cannot by ourselves get ourselves out of that sentence. But then comes Jesus, who justified us. And how did he do that? With his death on the cross. When he was nailed to that cross, on his shoulders were the sins of all people of all time. When he died on that cross and he was laid in the tomb, all those sins went with him into the tomb. And when he arose on Easter Sunday, the sins remained there, gone. So that when our Heavenly Father now looks at us, he doesn't see our sins because they're paid for, and therefore he says, that person is not guilty. He's justified. He's not guilty of any crimes. He's not guilty of any sins. And because he's not guilty, he has a wonderful future to look forward to. He also glorified. What does that eternal glory look like? I've asked you that question probably the last 3 weeks. What does that look like? I don't know. What is heaven like? Well, first of all, it's got to be a humongous place, right? Think of all of the believers that will be there, plus all the angels that will be there. Angels, we are told, are numberless. All will be there comfortably. You talk about our world today getting overcrowded and people are no longer comfortable. They seem pressed together. That won't be the case in heaven. When the whole is prepared by God, it will be comfortable. Who will be there? The good angels. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The believers. All of them. What will they do? Well, we're told one thing in the midst of these older gentlemen. I'm going to laugh. I had that happen to me once when in a funeral sermon I talked about heaven, and I said, and when you get to heaven, you will be able to sing glories to God. And you'll have a wonderful voice. And one gentleman said, I don't know how to sing. I said, you will be there. That's one thing we're told. We're going to sing God's glories continually. It will never get old. And it will be perfect. That we know we will be doing. We know there won't be any sin. We know there won't be of the devil. We know there won't be any illness. We know our bodies will not be like ours now, sinful, and will be glorified. What that means, I don't know. We'll see when we get there. And we are told there will be happiness beyond any understanding. All of that, God has made possible. We have nothing to do with it. God has done it all. Then comes the difficult part. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. Now, He makes everything serve for my good. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, it's easy to understand when the good things happen, right? We really enjoy those. A good day, I've had two good days in a row on the golf course. Good, awesome day. Thank you, God. After today, I said, you carry the team today with your time. Thank you, God. But there are other times when things don't go so well. 2 weeks ago, I couldn't hit the ball straight no matter what I did. God said, take it easy. I'll help you, and He did. Why does God allow difficult times to happen to us? Some people think, why is God punishing me? He's not. When times are good and easy, it's so simple to forget about God, isn't it? But when times get difficult, where do you turn? To God. You might ask Him why, and He might show you. But what you really do is, I place myself in your hands, God. I know you will take care of me, you will take me through this difficult time, and it brings me closer to God. That's why He does it. He allows difficult times so that your faith in Him is strengthened, and it turns out to be for your good. What's God's purpose in doing that? First and foremost, that we remain children of God. We are now. You're here this evening to hear the word of God apply to your lives. God says, I want you to remain that way as long as you are here on this earth. And it will not be easy. The devil will be there trying to lead you away from God, to no longer trust Him, and to blame God for the troubles. God says, I will make sure you remain children of God. And He does this through the Holy Spirit, who not only brought us to faith, but keeps us in that faith. Who says to us in difficult times, turn to God, not to yourselves. Turn to God, who says, I will be with you, and I will take care of you. And believe it or not, He will turn what seems to be difficult into something good for you. We have nothing to do with our salvation. God called us to be His children even before we were born. He made this possible through the work of His Son, who lived and died for us, and who overcame death with His resurrection. He made His Son work ours through the work of the Holy Spirit. God has done it all. That means our salvation is sure, because God never fails. Amen.